What's up? Welcome to another episode of the Lemonade Podcast. This is your host, Steph I Will, aka Stephanie, aka Misty Nice Twist Out, aka what? Hey, you got me. I don't read comics. So this is actually another special episode. I've been having a lot of those because I've really been trying to get these interviews in because that is something that is near and dear to my heart. And actually, this episode features Ashley from Graveyard Shift Sisters. So I really hope you guys enjoy that. But this week was so busy and I just couldn't go without mentioning the snatching of Iron Fist and those reviews and just wow. So if you haven't already, I actually ended up recording an episode with Sean and also Lauren. You can find that on nototally.com and you can find it on Nototally if you've already subscribed, which you should be to that podcast because it's great. They actually got me to watch High Fidelity. So there you go. But I just need to talk just a moment about IF stands because you all are the absolute worst. I thought trumpets were bad. IF stands are even worse. And when these reviews came out, the tears were just flowing and just, you guys don't even know the show's not out yet. Right. But the people who watched the show, six episodes, so they can write those reviews, wrote those reviews from watching the show. How else would you get reviews? So I don't usually dwell in vindication, but I am in this case because they have just been so horrible. So with all that said, I'd like you all to listen to a special drop that was made by Sterling from the Indu podcast. So shout out to you. And I appreciate this because I'm probably going to be using this like forever. Because, well, you know what? You guys take a listen, but after you do, it'll just cut right into my interview with Ashley from Graveyard Shift Sisters. I hope you guys enjoy. And I don't know, I might actually do a bonus episode and release it next week, you know, in between my biweekly thing, because there's just so much to talk about. I mean, the Deadpool casting, there was Logan, which I saw with Jamie Rigetti, which was really, really cool. That was my first time popping my meet somebody off Twitter cherry, which was great. And Jamie didn't have any teacups on her. Jamie is completely cool. And that was just such a fun weekend. So Logan, get out. I just saw Kong, Kong Skull Island or whatever the heck that movie is called. But I enjoyed it because it's just big monsters doing big monster things. And Tom Hiddleston and Brie Larson. I mean, I really wish they would have went with Monica Rambeau for Captain Marvel. But you know what? Until she says otherwise, I mean, I am here for Brie Larson. So, yeah, I'm rambling. Anyways, just keep in mind, IF stands or just any comic dude bro or just any person or man really that has come into your mentions and will actually you on something that you actually kind of knew something about. I hope you enjoyed this drop. I hope you enjoyed this episode and I'm going to catch you all. You know what? If I tell you I'm going to catch you next week, then more than likely that means that I'll actually do it. So I'll catch you all next week. Hope you enjoy. Peace out. McQueen Helio's got a great new pizza snack. They call it Pizza Pockets. McQueen Helio's Pizza Pockets. The great pizza taste will keep you coming back. McQueen Helio's Pizza Pockets. Hey, dude bros, you just got your feelings hurt by a girl that just out-nerded you. Need a snack? Go sit your butt hurt down with your McQueen Helio's Pizza Pockets. In pepperoni, deluxe, three cheese, beef and cheddar, and ham and cheese. Hey guys, this is Steph I Will. This is a special edition of the Lemonade. I am joined today by Ashley. Actually, you probably know her better as Graveyard Shift Sister, which for the longest, I was putting the S on the end of that sisters for like the longest. And full disclosure, for a while, I imagine you as two black women twins running the site. Don't ask me why, but that comes from not reading the way that I should. Should read.
But anyways, it was still dope to find out that you were just one singular person doing this amazing thing and actually got me back into watching horror, actually. I forgot what article it was that I read on your website, but I ended up watching was it Unfriended? I think.
I didn't write about Unfriended.
No,
Well,
I know you
maybe
didn't.
horror. Oh, about
Yeah, no,
Unfriended.
I know that you. Yeah, no, I know you hadn't, but I think I was like in the spirit of wanting to watch horror, and that was like the first thing I came across on HBO. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna watch this.
I'm
And
just
now
glad you
I'm
started
back.
watching again. Yeah.
Yes, and now I'm back to watching horror, even though it's keeping me up at night. But let me shut up, let you talk. So, firstly, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. I'm doing fine. Finally got that Patreon up, so I was happy about that.
Congratulations,
Glad
yeah.
you all talked me into it. Thank you. All right. So, for those that, for whatever strange reason, don't know about Graveyard Shift Sisters, can you tell them about it?
It's basically, it's, I don't even know how it became what it is. It's a very organic website that focuses on highlighting and celebrating and really giving black women and women of color who love horror, who are a part of being a creator or an artist within the horror genre community, a platform to, to just to give them some love, because it, I mean, I know why it started. It started because they weren't getting the love I thought that they deserved. And so I said, you know what, let me just do this, start this website and see where it kind of takes me. And now it's just kind of blossomed into this scholarship and interviews and all types of different stuff that people can kind of chew on. So I'm happy where
And
it is right now.
yeah, and I'm appreciative of it because it's gotten me to go back and watching things like, for instance, East Bayou.
Right.
I've gone back and watched that since and watched it with a different perspective. So I've been very appreciative of that. So yeah, no, I think it's amazing. And one of the reasons why recently I wanted to have you on the show because there was a topic of, so why don't you go create your own? And I instantly, I think you commented, and I was already thinking of you anyway because I just feel like that's something that is prominent when people are lazy and don't look into, what it is exactly they're talking about and not searching to just say, hey, actually, there are women of color, black women specifically, doing this thing. So, actually, can you talk a little bit more about, because I feel like you highlight that and you do a lot of the legwork so that folks don't have to go combing through the internet.
Right. It just, yeah, just from my perspective, it gets really exhausting. I get impatient. I get silent. Sometimes I slip and kind of, go on a little bit of a Twitter tirade, a tiny bit, which I'm not always proud of, but I've been doing this for long enough where it's just like you get to a point where you're just fed up with people asking you the same questions, and it's just like I've done all the work for you. And if you, it just, it, Google's available. I use it every day. Like, I just get so annoyed by that. And because it's really not that difficult. And I don't know, I think people, I don't understand about certain things when people make that comment about, why don't you do your own? And it's just like, do people have this kind of conception of if it's not on HBO or if it's not on ABC, if I don't, see it on Nerdist, if I don't see it on these really big major platforms that it doesn't exist, I don't understand. Yeah, it's just that disconnect where it's just, no, people are creating their own. You're just not paying attention. It's as simple as that. And yeah, it really, it's one of my weak spots because my impatience just, it just boils over and I can't stand it. And yeah, it's kind of the germ of why my platform exists, because no, these women exist. Like, I couldn't, 5 years ago, black women make horror films. Like, it didn't really register with me, and I had to do my own research and do all this really cool unearthing of finding women who are producing movies now, who produced movies in the past, and not just movies, but novels as well,
makeup artists, all types of different things, and women just really, you know, the basis of it, just women really enjoying horror films and like talking about horror films, Black women specifically, and that was really refreshing and really great to discover.
Yeah, and just hearing you say that, like, that's actually a little bit of why I kind of fell out of horror, because I got tired of watching the same stuff. Like, white kids somewhere where they don't belong, and, you know, like slasher films or
right.
Things that are kind of, I guess, what is it considered? You know, ghosts and the undead and all of that, and I just kind of got really tired of the same old thing. Like, I was like, I want to see representation of myself and how someone who looks like me would, I feel like they would actually, you know, act in that type of situation. So that's another reason I just kind of fell out of, you know, looking and search, you know, watching horror, because it's just like there's little to no representation. Or what I had seen, because like you just said, not using Google and just expecting to, you know, to find stuff off of HBO or,
right.
you know, regular TV, then, you know, you're only going to see so much. And that's because, unfortunately, and I don't know why this is, you know, women of color creatives, and specifically Black women, aren't getting the same type of, I guess, opportunities for exposure.
Yeah, and that is completely understandable. I will admit, yes, there's some, especially some recent films. Okay, so yeah, I even get fed up with some films feeling, I don't know if the word is monochromatic, I may be using the wrong word, but movies that are just kind of bland as far as like, you know, white people doing white things in a horror movie, so to speak, and it does get yeah. tired, especially like, you know, as a kid growing up with horror films, there are a lot of films that I hold dear to my heart. They're fueled by nostalgia, all that good stuff. But as an adult, and as an adult that knows better now, that knows that there are characters of color to explore in the genre and that are in the genre, it's a slow build, and it's very still very rooted in an independent space. I want more, and I expect more, and we live in this kind of, we live in a technology fueled society now, where if someone really wants to make a good quality film out, you know, no matter how much money it takes or how little money you get for it, you have the resources to kind of do it, and people are doing it. And so there's no excuse as to why, with Twitter and all these other social media platforms, that people who do have the influence and the clout that can get these people, that can bring these people on, and they just aren't. So I don't really know the intricacies of how the game is played. I'm kind of an observer, but it's sad. I you know, of course, I'm thinking one of the people I'm thinking of is Arshanae Williams, who does these kind of psychological horror films, and they're so well done. But you know, she should be working for Blumhouse or one of those people, you know what I mean? And it's just like, and you know, I hope one day, but I just feel like, you know, women of color as opposed to white women, and that's the other thing I don't think that's talked about a lot, you know, especially in horror, they're going to get on first. And that's just right. The reality. That's what I've seen for the past 10 years. Really being a horror connoisseur who's like, you know, talking about writing papers about horror in classrooms and kind of being immersed in the culture, being a part of Women in Horror Month, which is this month, you know, it was just like, there's too many pale faces, and they'll have all the white women and like one Asian girl, like, you know what I mean? Like, that's kind of their quota. And I was like, no. Like, you know, 4 years ago, I was like, this has to change, and we have to really highlight our sisters, because they love horror too. I love horror. I'm a Black woman, and we deserve to get recognition just like all these other women. So I don't know if that answers your question, but
No, it does. And it wasn't until recently, like I said, discovering your site that, you know, because horror is important. It's the genre itself is just important in the way that brings stories to life in a way that it explores different things going on in society. So to me, it would be essential that Black voices are being heard in that regard. Because what is it? I hate that I'm bringing this up, but it's the one horror movie that I've watched more than I should have, Tales from the Hood. Even though it's. And I actually wanted to talk to you a little bit about that because I watched it recently and I was like, there's a couple little stories here that are just a little heavy on respectability politics, but. For some of them, I mean, it's still, some of them still kind of hold up. But how do you feel about Tales of the Hood? Tales from the Hood.
It's definitely a product of its time. So when I'm watching it, it's very 90s. I don't expect it to be any more or less progressive. Like, I think it came out in 95. So 1995 versus like 2017. No, we're talking about, I mean, the things change, but things stay the same, but things definitely change. So, and it's very male driven. And that's kind of like always the angle I always looked at it. It's just like male producers, directors, and writers. And so that is, there's kind of a disconnect there. And there's not a lot of, fully realized Black female representation on screen, and definitely not off screen. I don't know. I don't even know how many women crew members they may or may not have had. So I can yeah. It was kind of the it was, they were kind of viscerally kind of addressing what was going on at the time with. With this is post LA riots, this is post Rodney King. So, and this is like, that those I remember trying to remember around that time those cursory discussions I would hear about black on black crime. So they were doing all of that. So you can't I for a movie in 95, I wouldn't have expected more or less, honestly. But
No,
is there
you're right.
But we're definitely ripe for the time of us doing something like that, but different and better and more progressive, and addressing issues with Black people, Black women, in a much more nuanced and richer way. So yeah, beyond respectability politics for sure.
Yeah. And see, and I feel bad that the only, because like I said, I've just got back to watching horror and what is another? Bones? Do you? I'm pretty sure you remember that. That's
Oh, yeah.
another that's another one that I've watched more than I care to admit because it was always
Love
on
these
BET
movies,
late at
though.
night.
You
Yeah.
don't have to. You
So
don't
I
have to be
don't.
ashamed. This is, listen,
Okay.
like that's the other thing too. Before we get into Bones, my other pet peeve is there is no don't come into horror with this high low culture attitude. Like, no, all if you're a horror fan, you're gonna like the bad and the awesome, and like the you're gonna love Rosemary. Like I love like I know what's a good no, because I'm kind of meh on Rosemary's Baby. I'm not one of the people who like loves it. Let me see. The Exorcist. The Exorcist is a movie I love. So I love The Exorcist as much as I love Demonic Toys, which is one of these really weird like C movies from the early 90s. So I love both of those movies equally. Like you can you there's no guilty pleasure in horror. Horror is a genre that it goes crazy because that's the that it can be crazy and tasteful, and it can be crazy and tasteless, and you can love all of it equally. Because I think I've always been come from the perspective with horror, like even the stupidest movies have something interesting to say. That's kind of how I've always approached it, because it's such a fantastical genre, you can go anywhere with it. So, but with Bones, I think it's kind of like blaxploitation 70s-esque. And it has this kind of ghost vengeance kind of a deal with it. I would recommend if you haven't gotten the DVD, or it might even be on YouTube, like if you listen to Ernest Dickerson, who is the director, just kind of listen to his commentary about the film and kind of his vision for it, because I think that makes the movie, whether you like it or whether anyone likes it or not, it makes the movie, but you gain more of an appreciation for it because of what he wanted to do with the film and the kind of issues that he wanted to explore, like classism, like especially the intersections of race and class, definitely, gentrification. He wanted to like talk about all of these different things, and use Snoop Dogg's character as kind of a catalyst for the genre elements that you see within it. So I've always enjoyed it. I really like it. And it's good representation too. But
yeah, because I have it on DVD, so.
Yeah.
Okay. I felt like this is Stephanie Till, actually all the movies she kind of likes. Fifth Element was another one, because I know you also highlight sci-fi as well. And that was another movie that... Yeah. You've never seen it?
No.
Oh my
God. It's one of those ones, yeah, I've never seen.
I think we got to do a live tweet then, because that is one of my favorites. Lawrence Fishburne is in it, and it's just really weird. It's just like a really classic sci-fi to me in space, because everything goes to shit, and you got to try to figure it out, and there really isn't a happy ending to it. So, we got to live tweet that then.
Okay. There's a lot of movies I haven't seen. Yeah, it's a never-ending list.
So do you have any, is there anything that has, 2017 just started, but I guess in 2016, were there any standouts to you?
Well, yeah.
Were the standouts?
Oh, yeah, there was a ton of standouts. So what motivated me to get to Austin last year for Fantastic Fest was 2015 Fantastic Fest in Austin, which happens every fall. I mean, they're getting so many like good like genre films, like horror and every derivation of horror. They're getting all of these films, and like my friends were there, and I was player hating so much. I'm like, you've seen this movie, and I guess, and like, you know, just I was just sitting at home just crying, like, you know, like I was that New York from Flavor of Love meme where she's sitting on the bed with her sunglasses on. That was me with everybody at Fantastic Fest. And so I was just like, okay, I'm going to try to go in 2016. But so all of those movies from 2015 Fantastic Fest, like they became available on VOD like early 2016. So like The Witch was one that was in theaters, which I really, really loved. And then there was The Invitation, which is probably my top three of 2016. I thought The Invitation was really good. And again, it's all about looking at horror. You have to look at it much more broadly. I think a lot of the arguments, I'll say, not debates, no, I full on arguments with a lot of people is their misunderstanding of what horror is. When people think horror, all they think are slashers. That's not the case. Like, the horror genre is so broad. So The Invitation definitely falls into that category. I actually read an article today kind of talking about how it kind of breaks, how it is horror, but how people can be led astray to think of that as something totally different. So what else? There's a movie called Darling that I really loved. That's on Netflix Instant. What else did I really love that came out in VOD? The Black Coat's Daughter. That's actually coming. That's going to be available for everyone soon. I got to see a screener. I really loved that film. As far as what else did I see? I like The Purge Election Year. I'm kind of just going down the list. At Fantastic Fest, I saw Raw. What else did I love there? Raw's my favorite. There was another movie that I think people have overlooked, and I'm hoping that when it becomes available for everyone kind of checks it out. It's called Buster's Small Heart by this filmmaker, Sarah Adina Smith, and Rami Malek is in it, and no one's talking about
what?
This movie.
Okay.
No one's talking about this movie. It's
driving me crazy. Okay, well, as soon as, is it, you said it's not available yet to everyone?
I don't think so.
Or is it?
But I have to go back and look. I do this a lot. Like, sometimes I'm like, when is this movie going to come out for everyone else to see? And I'll Google it and see if there's any, like, information available about the release date. But Buster's Small Heart is a really, really great movie. It is much more of a drama, though, but it is good. I won't give it away.
You sold me at Rami Malek, so.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, I mean, those are some of the handful of films that I really, really liked in 2016. I'm looking forward to 2017. I'm looking forward to Get Out. I'm trying to avoid reviews and watching the trailer more times than not, because I've gone to see, like, you know, Like, I want to see, like, Split, and going to see that, they're, of course, they're going to show the trailer for Get Out because it's the same production company. So I'm, like, trying to avoid the trailer. I can't see the trailer anymore because I want to go in as blind as possible. And so, because I really want to,
Right.
I'm praying that this movie is good, that I enjoy it. So we'll see.
Oh, what is The Girl with All the Gifts? Didn't you see that?
Yeah, of course, that one
How did
too.
you?
I see. My
I
brain.
love that book. I love it. Like, I think I've read it maybe 6 or 7 times. So, is that available yet for us? For the us common folk?
That comes out that comes out next month, I believe. I'm pretty sure they said March. So
Okay, all
it
right.
should be very, 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 very soon. I didn't read the book. From what people are telling me, so in the book, Melanie is white and her teacher is black. Okay.
Which I wasn't a fan of, that they changed the they switched that up. And the reason why I wasn't is because and I don't know, like, you can just tell me. Yeah, you can go ahead and tell me if the movie kind of stayed true to this, but Miss Justineau was I felt like somebody you really don't see black women be in this kind of genre, and then just period in film, which she was kind and self-assertive and just all of these, just like a really well-rounded character, but flawed as hell. And that's why I was like, I would have preferred to see her, be black versus the little girl be black. So that, like, so you still enjoy the film, right?
Yeah, I definitely still enjoy it, but I definitely see where you're coming from. I think in the movie, Melanie is much more developed.
Good. Okay.
I'm
Okay. Well, then
hoping.
that's a fair trade then, because no, she wasn't as developed in the book, so I guess that's a fair trade. But I mean, I just don't understand why they decided to switch. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like they definitely could have just kept it the same, and it probably would have put the movie over the top. But okay.
I would agree with that for sure.
Yeah, but I'm excited to see it. Like, I didn't know they were even making it. Well, I should have known that they were making it into a film, but I didn't know it was going to come out that soon. So I can't wait to see that. And oh, it just slipped my mind. There was something else that I wanted, another film that I wanted to ask you about, but it just, I forgot.
It happens. Yeah, I forgot about The Girl with All the Gifts, so that was one of my movies too that I really liked. So,
What is It Follows is now on Netflix. I've not seen that yet, but I've heard a lot about it.
what have you heard
Recommendation? Should I
about
go
it?
ahead?
I would like to
I've
hear what you've
heard.
heard about it first.
Okay, so what I've heard about it is that it's one of the best horror films in decades. That the premise is, I guess, I don't know, like a metaphor for sexually transmitted diseases and just a lot of praise, but I haven't really heard a lot of negative stuff, and that's kind of made me a little leery in watching it, because like whenever I never hear anything negative about something, I'm just like, okay, well, what's really good? So
Don't know if you want my opinion.
I do, because I don't want to waste my time, because I mean, like, I can definitely go watch something else. Like, I'll be fine if I don't see this.
See, I'm not that girl. I will give my opinion, but like I never want it to cloud people's judgment. Like I want like if you love it and I'm going to say now that I hated it. You might,
Oh, wow.
but you might like it. I found it boring. I again, it was I was I saw it in the theater and I was just like, why am I watching a bunch of white people make dumb decisions and have sex and
No.
some demon is following them? That doesn't scare me, because I'm just like, and then people try to tell me, I'm like, oh, but it's about this and this, and you know, it's a metaphor for blah blah blah, and I'm like, and like it doesn't like there's I had zero connection with that film. I didn't care about any of the characters. I just didn't I it I don't care that the score was so great. I don't care that it's a
That was
timeless
another thing
film.
I heard.
I don't care about this movie. And that's okay. I'm just one of the few people with that dissenting opinion. I don't think I'm right. I don't think I'm wrong. Because I re what I really do, and what I because I have been in a space where, like, The Woman, for example, which I think is still streaming, is one of those movies I started watching and I didn't hate it, but I didn't like it, so I just turned it off. And then maybe a few months later, I was listening to one of my favorite podcasts, and they were talking about it, and they really liked it. They kind of give a spoiler-free review before they really get into the details. And just listening to them, I was like, okay, that's interesting. Let me pause this and go back and watch the movie. So I stopped the episode and watched the movie, like, in its entirety, and I was like, oh, okay, this is kind of cool. Okay, I didn't hate this and I didn't dislike it. It's kind of cool with me. Let me go back and listen to the episode. And just listening to them, it kind of gave me a richer idea of the film from their perspective, and it made me appreciate it more. Like, so I don't know if there's ever been a movie I didn't like that I've gone back and have enjoyed. I mean, there's a lot of dumb, like slashers, for example, that I can watch again, even as an adult, and be like, this is really dumb, but it's kind of, I can see how it holds weight or holds meaning, in a way, or for a specific person, or for a person with specific experiences. So that's kind of how I am with things. Like with It Follows, you're not going to convince me as good, but you can love it. Awesome. I'm never going to judge you for it, but that's not. No.
I totally understand that. That is kind of how I am with comics. I'm just like, okay, well, I didn't really care for that, but if you love it, then that is perfectly fine with me. So I get it. I
Yeah,
definitely
yeah.
do. Well, I don't know. I think It Follows might be a thing of there is literally nothing else on Netflix, and I just need something on in the background. So I'll probably end up watching it that way. I'm really surprised that I ended up liking Unfriended, and I think that's because it was technology based, and I really love Black Mirror, and Black Mirror is like really heavy on that. So I think that's how Unfriended got me. I'm
Yeah,
pretty sure that's how I got.
yeah, let's get into that a little bit. So yeah, I think me and
Yes.
my friends, me and my friends were, I think, I don't know if we planned on seeing Unfriended or if it was just kind of an impromptu thing where we just had a movie day and we're just like, well, let's just go to the theater and see Unfriended. So we did. We weren't ex we we Our expectations were low, and I think that's what made the experience much better. And also that it was a good movie. Like, even still today, like if it's on cable, I'm watching it, and if I'm not doing anything else, I really enjoyed it. It's one of the few movies, it's one of the few movies I've watched where none of these characters are likable, but the movie is so damn good that
Right.
I buy their performances. And also, yeah, because it's all from a computer screen, and there's all this, like, basic teen drama going on, but it has this supernatural element to it that this is scary. I can dig it, because when you're, I don't know about you, but I'll be Googling things and I'll be doing things, and then I'll randomly be on a website and see an ad for something I just Googled 5 minutes ago. Like, that's creepy. Like, it's like,
Yes.
what kind of Big Brother nonsense is in my machine that's tracking the things that I do? Like, that it's not it's very unsettling. And Unfriended kind of plays off of that, but in a much more a fantastical way.
Yeah, and like I said, that's like exactly what did it for me. And talk about product placement. I actually ended up going ahead and getting a MacBook because of that movie. Because I need a new laptop anyway, and I was just like, well, I guess I'll get a Mac. But now every time I'm on it, I'm just kind of freaked out a little bit because because of that movie.
Good morning, Indubians and future friends. I am T. Sterling Watson from the Indube Podcast, and I invite you to stop by and press play. The Indube Podcast is a little bit of everything, just like myself. Topics include entertainment, nerd culture, pop culture, intellectual chat, spirituality, music, or magic if I misread my own handwriting. And you can find me on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Podbean, Spreaker, YouTube, Google Play, and of course, Indube.com. The podcast and this ad is a 3SFX production.
Black Mirror, like anything that kind of ties in what's going on currently or whatever with technology, I'm there for it. It's probably why I love Twilight Zone so much, because it was just a examination of the human condition, and
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, stuff like that. I just really love it.
No, you're absolutely right, because a lot of people are starting to reference Black Mirror, especially. I was listening to someone recently kind of talk about their Uber score as far as like being a writer, and I'm like, oh, that's a thing. And they're like, yeah. And like, people are worried, like, no, 4.2 is bad, you have to be 4.5 or above for Uber. And it's just like that. Ooh. Yeah, it's we're getting there. And that's terrifying, because that episode was deep. I mean, this right? show yeah this show manages to punch me in the gut every single episode. I think one night I actually was watching it and I was just like, I can't sleep. The world is about to end. That's what it feels like every time you watch an episode. Right. And you kind of have
so
to
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because what was it? I guess we'll talk about Black Mirror a little bit longer, because I just have to. It was the second, no, it was the third episode of season 3. It's the one where the boy has to do all of these things in order to keep the video from being uploaded. And then, oh my God, when I should have known what was going on, but it didn't hit me.
I have a weird spidey sense about those kinds of things. So when I saw him be extra attentive to that little girl, I'm like, something's up with this kid. I automatically knew it. And so, but I was really surprised that it's just like, yeah, we're going to make you do all these things, but we're still putting it on blast, you know? So that was like, damn, you know? I mean,
the episode grossed me out, but at the same time, it's like, this was really good. And then a Black Mirror, I just, I get grossed out, but I'm just like,
what I want to say, I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to say, when did you watch the very first episode? Do you remember your experience with that one?
Oh my, okay. So I think Geek Soul Brother had actually done, it was for a Saturday Night Sci-Fi, but I missed it. And they were only watching episodes 2 and 3. But I'm like, why would y'all not start with episode 1? So I tweeted out, and of course, some folks fell into my mention. It was like, yeah, you never seen episode 1 of Black Mirror? I'm like, no, I haven't seen Black Mirror, period. But I'm interested, because it sounds like the Twilight Zone. So they were like, well, if you want to watch it, we'll watch it with you. And I'm like, I need a group to watch this. So scheduled a little live tweet or whatever. And I had to take a shower afterwards, because I was traumatized, because I was like, they're really doing this?
Yeah.
Like, this is really happening. Y'all are really doing this. And it was so messed up, because I was just like, one, this really actually happened in real life, but two, like, yeah, like, this could really happen in this manner. And it was just so crazy, because I'm just like, oh my God, technology, social media, what the fuck? Why is he having sex with this dude?
I was mildly shocked. I'm like, oh, they went there. I just, okay, this show is something else. And it's kind of why I love British TV. They get in there with like 6 intense episodes at the most, and then they get out. You know, it's
yes,
it's very concise that way. And I think I wish American television would follow more of that model. I think we've had a little bit of progress with cable TV shows with the 12 episodes, and like Breaking Bad's a great example, because they did 5 seasons with a specific amount of episodes and they were done. And I wish more TV shows would do that, because I think a lot of TV shows are kind of just, they are running on fumes. And I'm just like, y'all need to stop. But that's a whole other conversation. But Black Mirror, yeah, because it's kind of like, yeah, it's those devastating ones. And I really like the Waldo Experiment one. I don't know why.
I love that one.
Yeah, I just think I just like the puppet cartoony thing. Like, I kind of like that. But, and it kind of went to it did so, like, I just felt so bad for that guy. It's just, he got screwed over. But how many times has that actually happened in real life, where someone creates something and it becomes this, larger than the universe, and they're the ones who get screwed over? Like,
It just messes you up. What episode was that just had the Christmas special? And I was just like, wait, what? Stuff like that, like being stuck, like in your mind or whatever, like stuff like that just really creeps me out. And that episode, one, I didn't know because, like you said, I'm so used to American TV. Sometimes I'm like, oh, more episodes. But no, like I ended up binging from, season one, and I ended up at the Christmas episode. And I was like, wait, shit, that's it?
Yeah.
And I was just like, and then to be walking around and like everybody is like blurred out. And you're like, you're walking around and you're just this big red X walking around like that. How soon are we're going to be at that soon? And that freaks me out because I'm like, I can totally see that.
Yeah. I think
Black Mirror guys.
Yeah. I think we're all kind of on high alert. It's the thing. It's similar to, and I always reference this because it's one of the first, it's probably the first movie I saw that I'm just like, this feels like reality, which is They Live. And it's a movie that a lot of us know about. And I saw it as a kid, and that first scene where he puts on the glasses and he sees someone who is not human, when John Carpenter brings in that that musical sting, because it's kind of like it's jarring because you weren't really expecting that. Mm-hmm. Okay, you're seeing black and white, and you're seeing all of these signs being, you see all the subliminal messages, but you don't know that you're not going to see someone who's not human. And then when that happens, I'm a kid, right? And so I'm just like, I don't think I slept that night. It was so scary, and I know there's conspiracy theories and like, jokes about lizard people and things like that, but it does bring in a kind of like that metaphorical mirror, no pun intended, of like, the elite are not like us, and they are using us for their benefit, and they are sucking the resources, the life out of us, figuratively and literally. And in this movie, one of my good friends made a good point about the film too. It was like, his argument is this movie could not be made now. It was made in the 80s where everything felt safe, but it couldn't be made now. I thought that was an interesting point to make. But
no, that makes sense too, because also we have access to information. There are like forums and threads dedicated to conspiracy theories that line up right with that. So now that's actually a very poignant point, actually. That had to be made in the 80s. There's no way that if it was made now, I don't even know if it would have been received the same way. I can't even see it being received the same way. In fact, it just would have been a conspiracy theory documentary, actually.
Yeah, you want to... Ooh, okay. So this ties into something interesting. Look, it might still be a streaming movie. It's a fictional film. It's under the horror genre. I think it's called The Conspiracy. And it's like a found footage film, so to speak. And found footage meaning that it's based on the point of view of like two guys trying to record a documentary. And these two, and I hope it's still on Netflix streaming. That's where I saw it. But it's basically two guys who are talking to this 9/11 kind of historian type dude. Well, he's seen as like a kook conspiracy theorist because he'll go... he'll stand outside in Manhattan and kind of talk about how 9/11 was an inside job, all this stuff. And then one day he mysteriously disappears and they go to his apartment to try to find him. And it kind of takes these guys down this rabbit hole of, no, there is a secret group that exists that are kind of your power elite. They do really shifty things to control others. I don't know if that makes any sense, but
No, it does.
I mean, if you are touched by these kinds of stories, this fictional tale is going to be pretty unsettling. I enjoyed the movie for what it was. I thought it was very interesting, but it's definitely a movie to see if you're interested in that kind of stuff. So,
yeah, and the funny thing is, maybe I'm still gonna watch it, but I want to say maybe 3 or 4 years ago, because Stephanie Venn, Watching that would have been like, oh shit, let me close the blinds. No, I can safely watch that and be like, okay, watch it for what it is. So no, I'm definitely going to watch that because I'm totally interested. Okay, I definitely could talk to you all night about a bunch of stuff, but I am not going to hold you because I think now I'm just going to bug you on Twitter and be like, hey, Ashley, have you seen this? And what did you think about The Descent and all of these other, because like I said, I've really dove back into horror and actually going back to watch some movies that I hadn't seen in a long time. Is the Night of the Living Comet?
Oh, Night of the Comet? That's the name
of it. Night of the Comet.
Mm-hmm. That's a popular one.
That movie, yes. Because it's just so, I don't know, something about 80s horror is just, I don't know, it just speaks to my heart for whatever. It's like, it can get really campy at times, and something about it, I just love it.
80s horror makes me feel like a kid again. And I didn't have the best childhood, but I had a good enough one where especially I was exposed to so much different kind of pop culture. Like I said, I saw They Live as a kid. Like when I was a teenager, my mom was worried that I was into horror movies so much, but I'm like, you was watching Hellraiser and I was in the room. So
right. I remember Hellraiser too.
Yeah. You can't say that this is weird when you was watching this stuff too. So, right. And then she's like, oh, yeah, you know what? You're right. And so she definitely is my biggest cheerleader now. Just seeing that stuff as a kid, I had a good experience kind of exposed to like all different types of films. And so I'm getting an appreciation for them, you know, the cheesy stuff and the more distinguished, so to speak, stuff.
Eyebrow, pinky up.
Yeah. Throughout this whole conversation, thank you for having me on, and I'm glad that you are interested in just finding more horror films, definitely. And I encourage you and everyone else, like the women that are on the website, like, you know, I'm not looking for foot traffic. I really just want you to seek out their stuff, and if you've got juice in the industry, give these women a shot, please. They're working so hard to make these movies and to do all the stuff that they're doing, and they're doing really interesting work, and I think that they deserve an opportunity just as much as everyone else.
So Ashley, where can everyone find you on the interwebs, all that, and anything that you have I guess happening soon?
I'm on Twitter at Graveyard Sister. You can always like the Facebook page. Everything is Graveyard Shift Sisters or Graveyard Sister. That's, you know, Instagram. I said Facebook, and then Tumblr. I love Tumblr. I wish, not wish, but if you are on Tumblr, definitely look at like just graveyardshiftsisters.tumblr.com because I love how the Tumblr set up, because Tumblr to me is kind of like a library, because people, you know, again, I'm sick of hearing, where are all the black people in horror? I'm like, I have a whole library on Tumblr of all the black women and women of color who have been in a variety of horror films throughout the decades. There you go. So definitely check out Tumblr. I'm just Ashley. I've got a few things coming up that I think are going to happen after. I'll be at NYU talking with the Brothers from Another Planet podcast. We're talking about blackness and horror in this politically charged climate.
Oh, cool.
And what else am I doing? That's just about it for right now.
Patreon, don't forget.
Oh, yeah, yes. I'm sorry. I'm so bad at asking for money. But I have a Patreon page. The Patreon page just helps me with research costs, with travel costs, with getting finances to do movie reviews, or, you know, just a variety of things that keep the wheels turning for the website and for all the content that you see, definitely. And also paying contributors, because I'm getting more inquiries about people who want to write for the site, and I think that they deserve to be compensated. Nice. Just like me as a writer, as a freelance writer, I want to be compensated too. So there you go.
Yes. Okay. All right. Well, again, thank you so much for joining me. Now I'm probably going to watch some horror, which is a bad idea because I have to get up for work tomorrow and I'm going to be up because I'm a scaredy cat and I hate to, I think I used up all of my, braveness in my younger years watching all of that horror, and now I don't have any left. So I'm blaming you.
I'm sorry.
Awesome.
Watch it during the day, even though that didn't help me when I was a kid. I was more scared when I was a kid.
No, that's not
like, eh.
No, because then I have a full day to be like creeped out. At least watching it at night, I can go to sleep and maybe we'll toss and turn all night. Then I'm fine in the morning, but we'll see. All right. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us. And let me plug myself. So The Lemonade, you can now find it on Audio Boom. Also, of course, iTunes. I'm trying to get Google Play. Actually, hopefully by the time you listen to this, you might be listening to it on Google Play. And also SoundCloud. And last but not least, there is a Patreon for The Lemonade Show. And please, 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 if you can, if the spirit moves you, go ahead and become a patron. That's for me to buy more comics, because I would like to start another podcast, because I've been inspired by Misty Knight's Uninformed Afro, where I'm going to actually break down some of my favorite series. And also to just kind of bring you all just quality stuff. And also, when I'm not riffing on Iron Fist, when you don't see that on the timelines, because I'm doing it and I'm posting it on Patreon. Because, yeah, I've heard some folks have been looking, some folks at Netflix, and no, they're not paying anybody anything. So let's go about it that way. So, yeah, so thank you for joining us, and I'll catch you next week. Yeah.